So today we're going to look at the life of Jacob, and there's quite a bit to cover. So I'm going to read a lot of scripture, and we'll just start with that. Jacob, of course, the name means deceiver or supplanter, and we'll start here in Genesis chapter 25. This is the genealogy of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah as wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padan Aram, the sister of Laban, the Syrian. Now Isaac pleaded with the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord granted his plea, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. But the children struggled together within her, and she said, "If all is well, why am I like this?" So she went to inquire of the Lord. And of course, this parallels Abraham and Sarah, where they took matters into their own hands. Here we have both Isaac and Rebekah calling upon the Lord. And the Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb. Two people shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the other shall serve the younger." So when her days were fulfilled for her to give birth, indeed there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red. He was like a hairy garment all over. So they called his name Esau. Afterward, his brother came out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel. So his name was called Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when she bore him. So here also Isaac is much younger than Abraham when he had children. Continuing, so the boys grew, and Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, but Jacob was a mild man, dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. So we see here from God that we're going to have trouble between Esau and Jacob, and indeed we see that Isaac and Rebekah also have favorites, if you will, and loved here, from what I can tell, it really means preferred. Kind of in another parallel, we see Esau became a skillful hunter, kind of like Ishmael, not the son of promise, and a little bit on hunting here. So hunting was allowed by the Mosaic law, but within the culture, it wasn't deemed esteemed as high as the surrounding cultures. So here we'll look at where Esau sells his birthright. And, of course, this exchange of the birthright assumes that Esau has the right to sell it apart from Jacob's approval. And if you look in the some of the ancient texts, you'll there is evidence that this birthright was sold and bought. So let me go ahead and read. "Now Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. And Esau said to Jacob, 'Please feed me with that same red stew, for I am weary.' Therefore his name was called Edom. But Jacob said, 'Sell me your birthright as of this day.' And Esau said, 'Look, I'm about to die, so what is this birthright to me?' Then Jacob said, 'Swear to me as of this day.' So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils. Then he ate, drank, rose, and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright." So from what we've just read, it's rather ironic that Esau's hunger, or is hungry here, because we were told he was a good hunter. And apparently here he's come in from an unsuccessful hunt. And weary here, when you look into the word, basically implies a weakened condition due to thirst or hunger. So that's rather ironic. And points out that the stew was of lentils. It didn't have any meat in it. And it was a common meal of the day, and still is. And, of course, the stew being red just further recalls the birth conflict between Jacob and Esau. And if you read where Esau said, look, I'm about to die, so what is this birthright to me? I mean, if really this is the case, that he's in such a terrible, weakened condition, it really says something about Jacob and how he's wanting to take advantage of the situation. And then point out at the bottom there, he despised his birthright. So we've gone over before the culture of the day, usually the birthright went to the firstborn. And, hopefully that comes to mind that the firstborn of anything was set apart to the law as we look toward the Feast of First Fruits. Went too far. So there was the birthright, and then there was also the blessing. It wasn't always the case that the blessing went to the firstborn, but that was often the case. And here in Genesis 27, we'll see that. Now it came to pass when Isaac was old and his eyes were so dim that he could not see, that he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son." And he answered him, "Here I am." And he said, "Behold, now I am old. I do not know the day of my death. Now therefore, please take your weapons, your quiver and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me, and make me savory food such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die." Now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to Esau, his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt game and to bring it. So Rebekah spoke to Jacob, her son, saying, "Indeed, I heard your father speak to Esau, your brother, saying, 'Bring me game and make me savory food for me, that I may eat it and bless you in the presence of the Lord before my death.' Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice according to what I have commanded you. Go now to the flock and bring me from there two choice kids of the goats, and I will make savory food from them for your father, such as he loves. Then you shall take it to your father that he may eat it and that he may bless you before his death." And Jacob said to Rebekah's mother, "Look, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth-skinned man. Perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall seem to be a deceiver to him, and I shall bring a curse on myself and not a blessing." But his mother said to him, "Let your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and go get them for me." And he went and got them and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory food such as his father loved. Then Rebekah took the choice clothes of her elder son Esau, which were with her in the house, and he put them on Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. Then she gave the savory food and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. So he went to his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am. Who are you, my son?" Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done just as you told me. Please arise, sit, eat of my game, that your soul may bless me." But Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son?" And he said, "Because the Lord your God brought it to me." So he just continually lies through here. Isaac said to Jacob, "Please come near that I may feel you, my son, whether you are really my son Esau or not." So Jacob went near to Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother's Esau's hands. So he blessed him. Then he said, "Are you really my son Esau?" He said, "I am." So we continue the lies. He said, "Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's game, so that my soul may bless you." So he brought it near to him, and he ate, and he brought him wine, and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Come near now and kiss me, my son." And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his clothing, and blessed him, and said, "Surely the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed." So, of course, Jacob is wearing Isaac's clothes, and so we have the smell of Esau on Jacob. Therefore, my God, give you of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren, and let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you. Now it happened as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, and Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from hunting. He also had made savory food and brought it to his father, and said to his father, "Let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that your soul may bless me." And his father Isaac said to him, "Who are you?" So he said, "I am your son, your firstborn, Esau." Then Isaac trembled exceedingly and said, "Who? Where is the one who hunted game and brought it to me? I ate of it before you came, and I have blessed him, and indeed he shall be blessed." When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with an exceeding great and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me also, O my father." But he said, "Your father came with deceit, your brother came with deceit and has taken away your blessing." And Esau said, "Is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and now look, he has taken away my blessing." And he said, "Have you not reserved a blessing for me?" Then Isaac answered and said to Esau, "I indeed have made him your master, and all his brethren I have given to him as servants. With grain and wine I have sustained him. What shall I do now for you, my son?" And Esau said to his father, "Have you only one blessing, my father? Bless me also, O my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Then Isaac his father answered and said to him, "Behold, your dwelling shall be of the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. And it shall come to pass when you become restless that you shall break his yoke from your neck." So quite a exchange there between the two. And we saw that Jacob just continually lied to his father, following his mother's instructions, but of course doing it all along. And so right after that Jacob is feeling the need to escape from his brother. So here, starting in verse 41, "So Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father blessed him. And Esau said to his heart, 'The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then I will kill my brother Jacob.' And the words of Esau, her older son, were told to Rebekah. So she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said to him, 'Surely your brother Esau comforts himself concerning you by intending to kill you. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice, arise, flee to my brother Laban in Haran, and stay with him a few days until your brother's fury turns away, until your brother's anger turns away from you and he forgets what you have done to him. Then I will send and bring you from there. Why should I be bereaved also of you both in one day?" So, of course, we know that Jacob was Rebekah's favorite, and that her desire was to have him in camp all the time. And so through this deceit and through the blessing, now immediately, the two of them are being separated. And in verse 46, "And Rebekah said to Isaac, 'I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob takes a wife of the daughters of Heth, like those who are the daughters of the land, what good will my life be to me?' So apparently by this time, Esau has taken wives from the land, and she is using this as an excuse to basically send Jacob away. So then in chapter 28, "Then Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said to him, 'You shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and take yourself a wife from there of the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may be an assembly of peoples, and give you the blessing of Abraham to you and your descendants with you, that you may inherit the land in which you are a stranger. which God gave to Abraham. So Isaac sent Jacob away, and he went to Padan Aram to Laban, the son of Bethuel, the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, the mother of Jacob and Esau. So we have now Jacob on his way, and on his way, we have this interaction between he and God. So picking up in verse 10, now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head, and he lay down in the place to sleep. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and it reached to heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and of the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and your descendants. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and the south, and in you and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place. I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? There is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Then Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put at his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of the city had been Luz previously. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I am going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house, and of that you will give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. So Jacob has had this exchange with the Lord, and he has two responses. First, he erects this stone pillar, and he marking the location of this dream, and he names it Bethel. And then second, he proposes a vow in which he makes these three conditions. One, that he would have God's protective presence, his divine provision, and that he would return safe. So in return for God granting him this, of course, God has said he will not leave him. He basically tries to barter back with God and said in return he would set up a sanctuary, and that he would be his God, and that he would tithe back to the Lord. So here we get a picture of, he's not happy with the blessing alone and what God has offered. He's still trying to better the deal. And I looked a little bit through the literature on this, and Jacob is the only patriarch who makes a formal vow to God. And so, as I mentioned, we always see that Jacob is searching for a bargain, and rather than being content with what God has promised him, he puts in this big word, if. I just circled there. So he's not willing to take really God at his word, but he wants to add to it. So Jacob continues his travels, and he ends up meeting Rachel. We're in Genesis chapter 29. So Jacob went on his journey and came to the land of the people of the east, and he looked and saw a well in the field, and behold, there were three flocks of sheep lying by it. For out of that well they watered the flocks. A large stone was on the well's mouth. Now all the flocks would be gathered there, and they would roll the stone from the well's mouth, water the sheep, and put the stone back in its place on the well's mouth. And Jacob said to them, my brethren, where are you from? And they said, we are from Haran. And of course, Haran is the ancestral home of Abraham, and we've seen that this stone is large enough. We can take from it that there's already three flocks of sheep there, that you need several men usually to push this rock away in order to water the sheep. And so evidently there's not enough people there yet. Then he said to them, "Do you know Laban, the son of Nahor?" And they said, "We know him." So he said to them, "Is he well?" And they said, "He is well. And look, his daughter Rachel is coming with the sheep." Then he said, "Look, it is still high day. It is not time for the cattle to be gathered together. Water the sheep and go and feed them." But they said, "We cannot until all the flocks are gathered together and they have rolled the stone from the well's mouth. Then we water the sheep." Now while he was still speaking with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she was a shepherdess. And it came to pass when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. So upon seeing Rachel, Jacob now has the strength of many men, and he rolls this stone away, and they water the stock. And of course, if you recall, when Rebecca tended Abraham's servant's animals, here we have the opposite taking effect, where Jacob is taking care of Laban's animals. Then Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice and wept. And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's relative and that he was Rebekah's son. So she ran and told her father. Then it came to pass when Laban heard the report about Jacob, his sister's son, that he ran to meet him and embraced him and kissed him and brought him to his house. So he told Laban all these things, and Laban said to him, "Surely you are my bone and my flesh," and he stayed with him for a month. So we know that Jacob's eyes are on Rachel. And so going on to verse 15, then Laban said to Jacob, "Because you are my relative, should you therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me, what should your wages be?" Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah's eyes were delicate, but Rachel was beautiful of form and appearance. Now Jacob loved Rachel, so he said, "I will serve you 7 years for Rachel, your younger daughter." And Laban said, "It is better that I give her to you than that I should give her to another man. Stay with me." So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed only a few days to him because of the love he had for her. Then Jacob said to Laban, "Give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go into her." And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. Now it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah his daughter and brought her to Jacob, and he went to her. And Laban gave his maid Zilpah to his daughter Leah as maid. So it came to pass in the morning that, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, "What is this that you have done to me? Was it not for Rachel that I served you? Why then have you deceived me?" So, of course, he deceived his father, and he's getting this right back. And Laban said, "It must not be done so in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill her week, and we will give you this one also for the service which you will serve with me still another 7 years." Then Jacob did so and fulfilled her week, so that he gave him his daughter Rachel, his wife also. And Laban gave his maid Bilhah to his daughter Rachel, his maid. Then Jacob also went in to Rachel, and he also loved Rachel more than Leah. And he served with Laban still another 7 years. So he finally has now married Rachel. He's also got another wife, Leah. And immediately we see that there is tension between these sisters. I'm skipping some, but down in Genesis 30, now when Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said to Jacob, "Give me children or else I die." And of course, by this time, Leah had multiple children. And Jacob's anger was aroused against Rachel, and he said, "Am I in the place of God who has withheld you the fruit of this womb?" So she said, "Here is my maid, Bilhah. Go into her, and she will bear a child on my knees, that I also may have children by her." Then she gave him Bilhah, her maid, as wife, and Jacob went into her. So this just kind of looks right back to Sarah taking matters into her own hands. Skipping down a little bit more, then God remembered Rachel, and God listened to her and opened her womb, and she conceived and bore a son and said, "God has taken away my reproach." So she called his name Joseph and said, "The Lord shall add to me another son." So she finally is blessed with children. And it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph that Jacob said to Laban, "Send me away that I might go to my own place and to my country. Give me my wives and my children from whom I have served you, and let me go, for you know my service which I have done for you." And Laban said to him, "Please stay, if I have found favor in your eyes, for I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for your sake." Then he said, "Name me your wage, and I will give it." So Jacob said to him, "You know how I have served you and how your livestock has been with me." So I believe I skip a bunch here, but basically at this time, Jacob agrees to continue to serve Laban. But what he makes a deal with Laban is that all the blemished or spotted animals of the herd would become his. And Jacob also in this has some assistance in their parenting, if you will, where they use rods to help with their conception or hinder it. And God continues to bless Jacob, and so his herds grow, and I think he has a strong influence in it personally, the way he's manipulating it, and Laban's herds are shrinking. So eventually Laban's sons complained to their father, and Jacob knew that this countenance with Laban is starting to change. So then basically he decides to leave. And picking up in verse 17 here, "Then Jacob rose and set his sons and his wives on camels, and he carried away all his livestock and all his possessions which he had gained, his acquired livestock which he had gained in Padan Aram, to go to his father Isaac in the land of Canaan. Now Laban had gone to shear his sheep, and Rachel had stolen the household idols that were her father's. And Jacob stole away, unknown to Laban the Syrian, in that he did not tell him that he had intended to flee. So he fled with all that he had. He rose and crossed the river and headed toward the mountains of Gilead." So rather than just kind of gather his herds and leave and probably have a proper relationship with Laban, he decides while Laban is away to just gather everything and leave. And unknowing to him, Rachel does steal these household idols that were her father's. So in the end, Laban, due to the herds, him, the manner in which he left and the stolen property, he takes off after Jacob. And while he is traveling, God visits him and says that he should speak neither good nor bad of Jacob. And so when Laban catches up with him, he tells Jacob this, and he basically accuses them of stealing these idols. And they look through the camp. Jacob is innocent in this case, but Rachel ends up sitting on the idols on her horse or whatever animal she was on. And the relationship deteriorates, and they finally end up, though, having a covenant in which they both agree to not travel on each part of property, if you will, this division that they made. So he is now finally clear of Laban, and he's on his way back to Canaan. So on his way back, we're in Genesis chapter 32 now. He sets on his way back, and he wants to see Esau. And we'll see here immediately he devises a plan. So Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. When Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's camp." And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. Then Jacob sent messengers before him, Esau his brother, in the land of Seir, the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, "Speak thus to my lord Esau. Thus your servant Jacob says, I have dwelt with Laban and stayed there until now," which is about 20 years, by the way. "I have oxen, donkeys, flocks, male and female servants, and I have sent to tell my lord that I may find favor in your sight." Then the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, "We came to your brother Esau, and he is also coming to meet you, and 400 men are with him." So immediately Jacob thinks that Esau has some evil intent with him. And again, rather than trust in God's promises of protection, he devises this plan, which we'll read, for potential escape. So Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that were with him, and the flocks and the herds and the camels, into two companies. And he said, "If Esau comes to the one company and attacks it, then the other company which is left will escape." Then Jacob said, "O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, the Lord who said to me, 'Return to your country and to your family, and I will deal well with you,' I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which you have shown your servant, for I crossed over this Jordan with my staff, and now have become two companies. Deliver me, I pray, from the land of my brother and from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he come and attack me and the mother with the children. For you said, 'I will surely treat you well and make your descendants as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude.' So he lodged there that same night and took what came to his hand as a present for his Esau's brother." So at least he's praying to God here, but I don't think he really has faith in it because he's setting up contingencies. So these are the gifts that he has as present for his brother: 200 female goats, 20 male goats, 200 ewes, 20 rams, 30 milk camels with their colts, 40 cows and 10 bulls, 20 female donkeys, and 10 foals. So he's got the whole barnyard there. Then he delivered them to the hand of his servants. Every drove by itself and said to his servants, "Pass over before me and put some distance between successive droves." So he wants these successive waves to be coming into his brother Esau. And he commanded the first one, saying, "When Esau, my brother, meets you and asks you, saying, 'To whom you belong and where are you going? Whose are these in front of you?' Then you shall say, 'They are your servant Jacob's. It is a present sent to my lord Esau, and behold, he also is behind us.' So he commanded the second, the third, and all who followed the drove, saying, 'In this manner you shall speak to Esau when you find him. And also say, Behold, your servant Jacob is behind us. For he said, I will appease him with the present that goes before me, and afterward I will see his face. Perhaps he will accept me.'" So this is Jacob's plan for Esau. So the present went on over before him, but he himself lodged that night at camp. And this is, I am way slow. So here he's going to wrestle with God. "And he arose that night and took his two wives, two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed over the ford of Jabbok. He took them and sent them over the brook and sent over what he had. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. And when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." I think if Mark was here, he could tell us that when your hip is in bad shape, you can't do much. Nonetheless, Jacob is hanging on to him. But he said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So again, he's looking for some kind of bargain or a better deal. So he said to him, "What is your name?" He said, "Jacob." And he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with man and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked, saying, "Tell me your name, I pray." And he said, "Why is it that you ask about my name?" And he blessed him there. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for "I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." Just as he crossed over Peniel, the sun rose on him, and he limped on his hip. Oh, come on. So I think I'm going to skip over some here. He ends up meeting Esau, and Esau is actually happy to see him and has basically forgiven him. And he tells them that they should go on, continue to travel, and Esau or Jacob suggests that they travel separate due to the children and animals, so they're about a day's apart. And again, I think he doesn't really trust Esau, that some harm may come to him. So here I'm going to jump down to Genesis 35. "Then God said to Jacob, 'Arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there and make an altar there to God, who appeared to you when you fled from the face of Esau, your brother.' And Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, 'Put away the foreign gods that were among you, purify yourself and change your garments.'" So obviously, for Jacob to make this command indicates that he knew of these foreign gods and basically was tolerating them. "Then let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make an altar there to God, who answered me in the day of my distress and has been with me in the way in which I have gone." So they gave Jacob all the foreign gods, and I guess it didn't come in quite the right place, but obviously, this comes to mind with the idols, Matthew 6:24. "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." So we get a glimpse that indeed this is what Jacob was doing. He was at least tolerating it among his household if he wasn't himself involved in it. But we've already seen that he was not fully trusting in the Lord. He took everything up in the earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the tamarind tree which was by Shechem. And where should I go from now? "And they journeyed, and the terror of the God was upon the cities that were around them, and they did not pursue the sons of Jacob." And I'll jump to verse 9. "Then God appeared to Jacob again when he came from Padan Aram and blessed him. And God said to him, 'Your name is Jacob. Your name shall not be called Jacob anymore, but Israel shall be your name.' So he called his name Israel. Also God said to him, 'I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall proceed from you, and kings shall come from your body. The land which I gave Abraham and Isaac I give to you, and to your descendants after you I give this land.' Then God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. So Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, a pillar of stone, and he poured a drink offering on it, and he poured oil on it. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spoke with him Bethel." So we've been here before, and God again changes his name to Israel and basically confirms what he's already promised him. And then Rachel dies. We'll skip over that. Yeah, Isaac dies. Both Esau and Jacob bury him. And then the story goes, of course, Joseph is sold into slavery, and we have the deception with Jacob and Jacob's other sons, and the whole issue with Joseph. They end up traveling to Egypt, and as Jacob gets old, when he sees Joseph, he's now ready to die. But before he does that, he makes Joseph take a vow to him that he doesn't want to be buried in Egypt. And so Joseph does make this vow. And I think I will... You can see I skipped just a little bit. I want to conclude somewhat with the character. So we've seen that Jacob was treacherous and quite deceitful. And he couldn't trust God throughout his life, although the older he got, the more trust and the more interaction we do see with God. But he was always planning on his own and providing for his own. He bargained with God, and he was always looking for a better deal. And ironically, I think never do we see where he ever asked his father for forgiveness for those lies. Ironically, he commits the same sin as Rebekah and Isaac with their favored children, and so he just kind of propagates that. Yet, though Jacob had all these failings, God was with him and blessed him. And, you know, one thing to think of, that God would identify himself as the God of Jacob, the God of Israel, only magnifies, given what we've seen about Jacob, how abundant God's grace is. And so one thing I think we should take from this very brief study is that we should take counsel in the fact that God had enough grace to save Jacob. He also has enough grace for us. Though Jacob was far from the perfect patriarch, God still used him. And through all of Jacob's misturns, God still demonstrated his patience with Jacob. Likewise, he has similar patience and grace for us. And so that's all I have. Sorry for the whirlwind tour. It was originally probably 2 hours, and I kept cutting. So, any questions? All right, thank you.